Bibles this morning, and I just want to share some things that I've kind of shared some of this with you already and shared this with folks I was able to preach to last week in 1 Kings chapter number 10. 1 Kings chapter number 10. And I want you to look at an event. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night. In fact, for some reason, I wasn't able to listen to Connor's message Sunday morning. Was it that bad that it wasn't posted? Or what's that? I didn't miss much. I enjoyed the Sunday night message. He apologized for re-preaching something that he preached, but he lost half of it. So, I'm not sure what if it was an error on my end or this end or whatever. So, appreciate Connor being able to fill in. So I'm going to share something. I say that because I'm sharing something that I've kind of shared with you already, but I think it's worth looking at again as we come to this Christmas season, I guess we call it. The world calls it. I really never cared for that term. I prefer to call it the incarnation time, which really was some question of whether this is the actual time of year or whatever. But some people get all wrapped up in that, and I used to play that game years ago too. But even the world is thinking about Jesus coming into the world, and we could use that opportunity to share him with others. And 1 Kings chapter number 10, I'm just going to let you stay seated, and what I'm going to read is a parallel passage in 2 Chronicles chapter number 9, and you'll recognize it as soon as we start. But I want you to think of this when we read it, and I'll probably stop and comment along the way. As we look at this, the Queen of Sheba is meeting with Solomon. And I want you to picture this as we look at it and see the parallel, because I think there's a wonderful message here. That Solomon is a type, what we call a type, for Bible students, that a type or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, he lived hundreds of years before Christ was born into this earth, but all of the Old Testament is prophetic in nature, that's looking for the Messiah to come. And he is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Queen of Sheba is a Gentile and is a beautiful picture for us today as God's queen, as Jesus' bride, of the church, the local church. And I want you to look at this in that light as we read through the first few verses of 1 Kings chapter number 10, and then we're going to get to the message. And when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Remember, some of us that were not brought up in church remember hearing the folks at that church down the road talk about Jesus. We didn't understand what it was all about, but we heard the fame. We heard his name. We knew some things, at least we thought we did, about Jesus, but we didn't really know the truth of the gospel. But she came to prove him with the hard questions. She had some questions, and she had to ask them to somebody. Our world has a lot of questions today. There's no better place to find the answer than in God's house with God's people that know the Word of God. And I'm thankful for God's people here that love and know the Lord Jesus Christ and are studying his Word. And she came to Jerusalem with a great, very great train. With all the pomp and circumstances the queen would travel with, her guards and all their treasures, with camels that bear spices and very much gold. I mean, she had on her Sunday best when she showed up. She brought her very best to the house of God. Someone asked me years ago, it must be wonderful to be a pastor because you see people at their very best. And I said something because I'm a realist. And I said, yeah, but you also see them at their very worst. That's just the nature of the beast. And but she came showing her very best. And she was come to Solomon. She communed with him of all that was in her heart. She poured out her heart to Solomon. And Solomon told her or answered her all her questions. Aren't you glad Jesus has the answer to all our questions? The things that burden us will find answers in God's house and in God's Word. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. Aren't you glad Jesus sees everything? He knows everything about us. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he built, when she looked around and saw, this is not like anything I've ever seen. Nothing like I've ever dreamed of before. And saw the meat of his table. Oh, did you have a wonderful Thanksgiving time with the meat around the table and the food around the table and all the treasures and sitting of his servants and all those that are happy to serve him, and saw the joy that was in the heart of God's people and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers. And his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord where there was no more spirit in her. This is unlike anything I've ever seen in the world when I came to the house of God, to the presence of God. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I'd heard in mine own land. I'd heard what you did in that church. I'd heard what you've done, what your people do. And the acts of thy wisdom. I've heard of all these things, but seeing is different than hearing. Howbeit, I believe not the words. I thought that can't be true. There can't be such a place on this wicked, vile earth that we live in until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, and I love this statement, the half was not told me. I'd heard all of it, but I'd never experienced it. Never would have dreamt it was even as great as it is. And that's not even all of it. And thy wisdom, thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. It's even greater than I could have ever imagined. Happy are thy men. Happy are thy servants. Blessed are those that serve thee. Blessed are they that live in your presence, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, and set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he the king to do judgment and justice. By the way, and again, remember the picture here that Solomon is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon did, of course, fall into sin later in his life, and he is not still on the throne, but Jesus is on the throne. The true picture of who he is still, and his judgment and justice is still reigning. And verse number 10, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold. He said, this is no longer value to me. I want to give it to you. You alone are worthy. And the spices of very great stone and precious stones. And there came no more such abundance of spices. And I'll just say this. When we recognize what we have in Christ and what he is, nothing is too great to give to him. And I'll just jump down to verse number 13 for the sake of time. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire. Isn't that just like the Lord? Everything we need is found at the throne of Jesus in the house of God. And whatsoever she asks beside that which Solomon gave her of the royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is. What a delight it is to come into God's house, into God's presence, where God meets with his people. I want to talk to you this morning about our theme for the month of December until we get to Daniel in the month of January, of God's unspeakable gifts. The half has never yet been told. Oh, I can't even begin to describe. And God's unspeakable, the word unspeakable. We gave this to you Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago. I think it's worth repeating. I don't know about you. Well, I think I know about you. You're like me. About the fourth or fifth time you hear something, you might remember it, right? If you write it down, there's a little better chance that you would remember it. As long as you don't lose the note, like I usually do. As long as you remember to look at that note where you wrote it down, which I don't always do. So God's unspeakable gifts, plural. I'm going to talk to you about this morning. Unspeakable. I don't know why I have trouble with that word. Need to trim my mustache. My tongue's getting tangled in it, I think. But what cannot be related? It's unutterable. We talked about that in Romans chapter number 8, praying with unspeakable words that cannot be spoken. The idea is that no words can properly express the greatness of the gifts bestowed upon man. It's higher than man can conceive. The Queen of Sheba said, it's greater than I'd ever imagined. It's greater than I can express. It's greater than I can tell. Even though she went back to her own country to try to tell the greatness of Solomon, words failed her. She couldn't find accurate words to describe how wonderful her God is and how wonderful it was to be in the presence of God with His people and to see His servants and to see how God is working in that assembly. It's a higher language than we can express. It's words that cannot be spoken. And I'm going to look at the three places. And again, this is review to some of you. And I think it's worth reviewing the three places in our Bible where the word unspeakable is used. The first is in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And there we see God speaking of His unspeakable gift of salvation. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Oh, salvation's so much more and so much better than what I thought it was going to be. You know, the devil throws all kinds of thoughts. Oh, if you get saved, you're going to be like one of those snotty-nosed, snub-nosed Christians looking down your nose at everybody. You're going to think you're better than everybody else. No, just the opposite is true. If you get saved, you can't have fun anymore. You can have more fun as a Christian than you don't have the hangover afterwards that you have to worry about. And it's only good to know the Lord, the unspeakable gift. There's no words to describe this gift. In 2 Corinthians 9, in fact, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the context here is God is speaking of giving and the blessing of giving. And when we talk about giving to the Lord, there's in the message on giving about tithing or whatever, but I found that everything in my life, and just like Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, everything in my life belongs in the local church. I'm amazed. I spend some time with Christians that don't put the emphasis in the local church. I'm grateful that when I started studying the Bible seriously, one of the places I kept going to is the book of Acts. And one of the most obvious things when I study the Bible and then compare all the commentaries and the teachings on the book of Acts, I thought there's something that is so obvious in the book of Acts, I can't believe that most people miss it. And that is the significance of local churches and how God works through local churches. And I said that plural on purpose because that's how it's used in the Bible. A local assembly, a local body of Christ, a body of believers. And everything that God says in those writings of the Apostle Paul, the only way they really work and fit in a practical sense is in a local assembly. And what he's talking about giving and receiving, you send your gift off to somebody who knows where, and are they really accountable for that? Do you know where that's going? But the only way to be accountable, even in our giving, which is the context here of chapters 8 and 9. Now, you can sigh a relief. I'm not preaching on tithing and giving. How usually when you hear somebody preach on these two chapters, that's what the message is about, because that's the proper context about giving to those in need and ministries of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about how that we ought to, when we harvest, we use, of course, the harvest, the grain, the wheat of the harvest to feed ourselves today, but also we set some seed aside for future generations, for the next year's planting, and for future generations. The emphasis on that God gives us enough for today, and we need to prepare for today and then also prepare for tomorrow. Let's look at the verse number 19. I said all that just to kind of jump down to what how this verse fits into context. And he's talking about giving and receiving. And verse number 15 of chapter 9 says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And what he's talking about there is a gift of salvation. As we've been studying the book of Romans all the way through the book of Romans. And every time I read through the book of Romans, as we just finished a few months in that book, and I don't know how many times I've read through the book of Romans, the whole time I'm reading through it, I'm thinking, God's indescribable gift of salvation. There are no words to accurately describe what God has given to us in salvation. The grace, the mercy that He shows us, the kindness, the gentleness that He reaches down to us. And sometimes He's got to shake us or slap us upside the head to get our attention, doesn't He? And even in His goodness, He brings us to the place of repentance where we're down in our back in the lowest, lower than a snake's belly. You're down in the lowest place where all you can do is look up. That's the goodness of God, that He brought you to that place. And thank God for His goodness and the salvation that we have in Christ. I would encourage you this month. Now the Christmas season starts after Thanksgiving. I like to wait till after Thanksgiving. I was going to put up some decorations outside before I left, but I thought I can't have it up before Thanksgiving. That's just not right in my eyes. But now I'm not sure we will get it put up because of the snow and the frozen ground underneath. But we'll see if we can get through that or not. But at this Thanksgiving or at this Christmas time, I want to encourage you not to celebrate Christmas. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. Instead, celebrate Christ. Let's celebrate Christ, not the Christmas. You see, in our world, Christmas is about family. Christmas is about friends, isn't it? Christmas is about parties. It's about presents. It's about gift exchange. It's about big turkey dinners. Did you hear that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're the best. Oh, I did get a turkey dinner. In fact, it was so good. I had three helpings, and boy, was I miserable, but enjoyed every minute of it on Thanksgiving Day. And that's just the beginning of turkey season as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, I digress there. But Christmas, that's what it's about. It's about presents. It's about memories. But Jesus is all about life. Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's celebrate life. Now, thank God for family. Thank God for friends. Thank God for celebrations, for get-togethers, and even Christmas cantatas, Christmas children's Christmas pageants. And thank God for all that, but that's not what Christmas is all about. Well, that's what Christmas is about. Let's celebrate Christ. Let's make it about Christ. Jesus is about life today and about life tomorrow. God's unspeakable gift of salvation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and think of this. God's unspeakable gift of salvation. And Paul uses, again, the word unspeakable. Again, that word's only found three times in the Bible. We'll look at all three of them, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, where Paul is talking about the unspeakable hope of heaven. His unspeakable hope of heaven. Paul is referencing, I believe, in here, and there's some disagreement here, but I personally believe that he's referencing in Acts chapter number 14 when he was taken outside the city of Lystra on a second missionary journey and he was stoned to death. Some people say, I won't go into all that right now, but and as he was laying there dead, as those that stoned him left, the disciples were gathered around him, and all of a sudden, I would like to have been there. He started moving. He stood up, and he started preaching it. Whoa! His unspeakable. And then he said something, and notice in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and that's what I want to focus that on. It is not expedient for me, and doubtless I will glory. And again, the context here, if you go back through chapter number 11, is the glory of God. Paul is referencing God's glory and God's and the glory is the brightness, the majesty of God. To glory I will come, to visions and revelations of the Lord. And he talks about all the things that he's done through, and folks want to praise him for that. And he said, "Oh, that's nothing." And then he says, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard, there's the word, what's the word? Unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, Paul's talking about when he went to the very presence of God, into the third heaven. That's talking about the place where God lives. And he saw some things, he heard some things that he said, I cannot talk about them. I'm not allowed to talk about them. Now, it's the same English word as it is the other two places, the word unspeakable, but actually the Greek word, if you were to study it out, has a little bit different meaning here. It means not only I do not have the words to describe what I saw, but I also am not permitted to say what I saw. I'm not. If I had the words, I would not be permitted to tell you what I saw. Paul heard unspeakable words in heaven that he couldn't describe, and neither was he allowed to share them. Now, other places in Scripture, the Apostle John, the book of Revelation, and Isaiah 6, describe the scene of heaven. God gave them the words and allowed them to share some things, but he did not here allow Paul to say what he saw in heaven. And by the way, I believe with all my heart that when we get to heaven, what we're going to see, the best description is in the book of Revelation, when John describes that he saw a throne and one sitting on the throne proceeding, and out of it proceeded lightnings and thunderings, and around that throne stood a, we call it today, a rainbow encircling the throne, circling the presence, and he saw no man was able to take the book out of his hand, which was the title deed of the earth, and then he saw a lamb that was slain, that came out of the midst of the people of God. And out of the midst of the angels, he was part man and part God, or he was fully man and fully God. And he came to that throne and took that book and loosed the seals and opened the book. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that every one of us, when we go to heaven, that's exactly what we're going to see. Oh, wait a minute. That's something that's in the future. Now, keep this in mind, and I love this thought that God gave me years ago, and I think about it just about every day, that with God, there's no such thing as time. There's no past, present, future. So what John saw is something that's happening, that every one of us are going to see when we get to heaven. We got all these visions, but I find it interesting that so many people, and you've read books, you've probably watched movies, you've heard testimony of folks, well, I died and I went to heaven, and let me describe to you what I saw when I got to heaven. And it isn't interesting, what they saw never fits with what God says we're going to see in heaven. Even saved people doesn't quite fit. In fact, I don't think of any testimony I've ever heard where it really fits what the Bible describes what we're going to see when we get to heaven. Now, John and Isaiah give us a picture of it. Paul said that he saw it, but he's not allowed to say it. And I've also find it interesting that it doesn't matter if that person was lost or saved, they saw the same thing, supposedly. That tells me that somebody's experience cannot stand above the Word of God. And I know if you have such a story, let me suggest you do something. Write a book and make a movie. You'll make millions of dollars because people are foolish enough to watch that stuff. But I'd rather take the Bible for what it says. And Paul saw these unspeakable. What he's talking about is heaven. Let me tell you something. Heaven's real. And heaven is something that I can't begin to comprehend. And I'm going there one day. I'm longing to go there. I'm ready to go anytime. My treasures, my desires, my joy, everything I have is in heaven, and I long to be there one day. Contentment and joy slip away when I begin to look at other things. And make this season about Christ, not about Christmas. Make it about Jesus. My home is in heaven, the unspeakable hope of heaven. And then there's one other passage of Scripture that goes hand in hand, and I love this one, maybe better than all of them, because it speaks of today. The unspeakable hope of heaven, that's for tomorrow. Tomorrow might start in 5 minutes. It might start for 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50. I don't think it'll be that long for me. I'd be old if it was that long. I'd be real old. I think who I can make fun of here. But it's getting kind of bad when you can't make fun of old people, because you are the old people. The unseen, in 1 Peter chapter number 1, 1 Peter chapter number 1, turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1, and I love this. This is a great passage. In fact, every time I think of this verse, I remember, isn't it funny the things that you remember with songs that you hear or verses that you hear? You memorize verses. The person that taught me to memorize this verse was a crazy old preacher. You talk about old. I think he had firsthand knowledge of Noah's Ark. And R.O. Woodward, he had a wonderful testimony. I've heard a number of classes in Bible college. He would preach in chapel. Be a great preacher. But when I knew him, he was starting to lose his mind a little bit. But he was still a great preacher. Kind of feel like I'm fitting in that category sometimes. But he shared this verse as a verse in soul winning. I talked a personal evangelism class with him, and he said, "Oh, this is a verse you need to use when sharing the gospel with people." And I scratched my head and thought, wait a minute. And the more I memorize and meditate on that verse, the more I see the wisdom of that. But I'm talking here about God, and God's talking about the unspeakable joy in His presence. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, Peter's talking to Christians that are going through suffering and persecution and saying, hey, it's going to get worse. Prepare yourself. It's going to get much worse. And sometimes, and this came up in conversation this week, I believe a couple of times, and people that I talked to this week about the Lord's return. I believe the Lord's coming any minute. Amen? I'm ready for Him to come any minute. And if He's not going to come, I believe I could go into His presence any minute. Anytime He wants, we ought to be ready. I can't show you a verse of Scripture to this other than the fact that God judges nations throughout history. And I believe with all my heart that America's overdue for God's judgment. And I fear sometimes that before, and we want, of course, it's kind of like when you got a big test coming up tomorrow. Lord, please come before that test starts tomorrow, right? And what we see going on in our world, Lord, even so, Lord Jesus, come, take me out of this mess. But I personally, and again, this is just my personal opinion, I think America is going to go through some persecution and some suffering like would make the Great Depression looked like a Sunday school picnic. I believe that we're overdue for such a judgment as a nation, seeing how God judges nations in the past. And I pray that it's not so, but I fear sometimes that we're going to see great suffering, great persecution down the road. And that's the type of people Peter's writing to. And Peter did say, hey, it's bad now, but it's going to get worse. And you read about the persecution of Christians in the early centuries, of these people that Peter was writing to. And I'm just going to jump to the verse here, in verse number 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, we've not seen Jesus, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, ye believe, yet believing ye rejoice with, what is it? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the next few verses there, he talks about this unspeakable joy that was sought for 4,000 years by the Old Testament prophets. For those that were seeking their Messiah, they were looking for what we have today, the treasure that we have in the person of the indwelling Spirit of God. And that unspeakable joy of knowing that He is with us and knowing wherever we are, He's right there with us. Now, some experience it to a degree in the Old Testament. I'm thinking of the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that fourth man in the fire with them, was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We experience it that today. What others have longed to know, we have Him in our lives today. They had Him for a short while they're in the furnace. But we've got Him every day. And we sometimes don't realize that, do we? And then you read about God's unspeakable joy that we have. In Hebrews chapter number 11, we call it the Great Hall of Faith chapter. And I know when we went through the book of Hebrews, we look at Abraham and Moses and all the great men of faith that God miraculously delivered. But I tell you in my mind, the greatest heroes are those that God chose not to deliver at the end of the book. But some God did not deliver as far as this earth is concerned. But they still believed the promises of God. And how do they do that? When you go to Hebrews chapter number 12, you see how. Because they were looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the what? Joy that was set before Him endured the cross. God's unspeakable joy that He gives us when we walk with Him. You know, the reality is this, and we're about done. The things that this world fears and is anxious about, and the things that we are sometimes anxious and worried and fearful about, are the things that ought to bring us the greatest joy in life. That's exactly what Peter's saying here. Hey, you're going to go through, you're going to lose everything. You're going to most of you are going to lose your life in severe torture. And I mean, extreme wickedness that's going to overcome your civilization. But yet, we have an unspeakable joy. We have something greater than the world could ever give. And the things that this world fears and the things that we naturally fear bring the greatest joy. That's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount when He started, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Blessed, or by the way, that word blessed means happy, joyful. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And by the way, to be a peacemaker means you just got to take the wrong. Now, you might be right, but go ahead. Let them think that they're right, whatever. That's a peacemaker. Has to get used to doing that. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I find it interesting that Jesus spent the most time on that group of blessed people, those that are persecuted for righteousness, not persecuted for our own stupidity, which many of us have gone through that, haven't we? But persecuted for His righteousness. That when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. The joy unspeakable, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Oh, God tells us the book of Philippians chapter number 4. The apostle Paul says, be careful, be anxious, be worried about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with, what's that word we just celebrated? Thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Well, that doesn't make sense. How can you be joyful in that? That's God's unspeakable joy in His presence, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind. Keep your faith in God and keep your mind going the right direction. Nothing shall defeat me. Nothing. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved me. And there's nothing that can take that away. Thank God for His unspeakable joy, the unspeakable joy of His presence, the unspeakable hope of heaven, and because of the unspeakable gift of salvation, that He gave me what I do not deserve, and He's more than I have words to describe. The half has not been told. I could tell you some great things that God's done, but I can't even tell you the half of it. Oh, thank God for His goodness. Thank God for His unspeakable gift of salvation, for His unspeakable hope of heaven, and the unspeakable joy of His presence. I'm going to ask you to stand to your